this is the non-negotiables of like your inner circle, your most intimate relationships. If there's constantly offenses in a friendship, like, I'm out. When you leave those people, do you feel like you have been filled up? I'm gonna leave it at that.
Welcome to the Mom Guilt Podcast. I'm your host, Vanna, a dermatology nurse practitioner turned wellness enthusiast. We're not here to get rid of mom guilt. Instead, we will give you the tools and systems to get you through whatever season you're in, because when you have the right systems, you're able to experience freedom in motherhood and prioritize yourself. Mom Guilt exists to introduce you to the life-changing habits that can create a life you never thought possible. If you're listening to this, you are not here by mistake, and I can't wait for you to dive into all things wellness and prioritization.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode. We're cranking these things out. I think we're close to 50 now. Recently, because we've been doing a lot of mindset work, we're here for just being our best selves. You don't have to be a mom to be here. FYI, I think a lot of you aren't, because the people that talk to me are commenting and I pay attention to that. I don't think a lot of them are moms, but we've been doing a lot of mindset work. And one of the videos or episodes that has done so well on here and on YouTube were the 5 non-negotiables of my day, and like how to set yourself up for success to organize your day and prioritize self-care. That episode you guys are obsessed with. So I thought that I would do a 5 non-negotiables of relationships. When I think of this, I think of friendships, but it really can apply to romantic relationships as well. And these are the things that I look for. Clearly, I am married, but if I weren't married, I would be looking for these things in romantic relationships as well, because as time goes on, if you don't have a firm foundation in your relationship and a true friendship, like your spouse and your partner is your best friend, then you're going to falter a little bit. So I think this is applicable to romantic relationships as well. So I'm going to just dive in, because I want this to be a quick listen, but things that you can take away from it. First and foremost, and I think this is a really important one, is I call it the spotlight in the audience. Is that person able to be the audience and give you the spotlight, and vice versa? Like, does that role work both ways? Because you know those people, it's always their story. It's always about them. And also watching the conversations that they have with other people and not just you. Do they ask about the other person? Do they ask about you? What is going on in your life? And I think you'll be really surprised when you start to look at it from that lens, when you're having conversations with people and you're like, huh, they don't ever ask about me and what's going on in my life. And do they pay attention? The friends that I have every single time that are in my inner circle, every single time I'm around them, they ask about things that we've talked about before or that are going on in my life that I'm not talking about on here on the podcast. I'm not talking about it on social media. The only reason they know these things is because they ask me and they take the time to get to know like the intimate part of me and what is going on behind the scenes. And I really don't think anyone in my inner circle doesn't know what's going on. And not because I bring these things up, like when we're all in a setting together, or if we're like, I just had dinner with one of my best friends last night and she was continually asking me these personal questions. And it's not like I had to be to say, hey, like, this is what I'm doing with the podcast. This is what I'm doing with my one-on-one coaching. She was asking me those things, and that it means a lot to me. And I think that that is a vital part of a relationship, but same for me, like me taking note of things that going on in their lives, because I want to know, I want to make sure I'm asking because I'm invested in them and I love them. And sometimes I don't get that right. Sometimes I'll be on my way home because I have so many things going through my head because I have so much going on. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to ask you about this. And it's like I correct it, but also letting them know that I do care. We talked about a million other things and there's only so much time to spend. You are going to have those people in your life that need the spotlight constantly. And I think that that's totally fine. And I think that you can know and expect that of those people and love them as that they are. But I don't think that they're going to be your inner core circle or like the people that you run to when things get tough in life. I'm not dismissing any of those types of relationships. Like I have people in my life that are like that, where it's like they never ask about me. And you get to a place where you just become accepting of that. It's also a good time to evaluate, like, do I take the spotlight most of the time? Or, you know, if I do, is it something, because I do think there's a give and a take. Like I'm sitting here thinking about why I'm tripping over my words. I'm thinking about times where I've been going through something rough in life and I have the spotlight with a friend or within a group. And I think that's appropriate because you can switch it on and off. I think the spotlight can go between certain seasons of your life and that's okay. But what's like the norm? Is that easily switchable between that relationship, or is it always on a certain side? I'm really interested. If you guys start to pay attention to this and notice it, and you're like, I've never even paid attention to this, please let me know. I love stuff like this. Second is security. There is no jealousy. No jealousy in life, but also other friendships. You also know those types of people that always have to one-up you. Like you're having a conversation and you're like, yeah, I got this lip gloss. I don't know, that's silly, but I got this lip gloss and they're like, oh, I have this one. Or like, it's always they have better. And I don't think it's in a malicious way. I really do think that some things like that, for the most part, are an insecurity. It has nothing to do with you truly, but a dissatisfaction with themselves or some type of like childhood trauma that's been instilled in them growing up. They need to accomplish or like have the accolades to be loved, noticed, recognized, and that's playing out into their relationships and friendships later on in life. Also, from like a security standpoint, if you go hang out with someone else or if like you have multiple people in your friend group, then they don't get jealous of that. Like we have an inner circle of five of us. I think it's five of us. And like we'll all do one-on-ones every now and then. And none of us ever are like, well, why wasn't I invited? Well, why didn't I get included in that? And it's just a security thing. Like we genuinely don't care. And we're like, oh, you went out to eat with so-and-so, like that sounds amazing. Where did y'all go? What did you eat? Like there's a genuine want for like those friendships individually to grow as well. But I've had friends be like, well, why didn't you ask me to go? Or why wasn't I invited to this? And it's like, because that was an intimate time between me and those people or that person. Like, I don't know. I find it exhausting to be in friendships or relationships where it's constantly like, well, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? And it's like, what? It's like when there has to be so much effort to it, I'm kind of like, I'm out. And I think that all boils down to a security thing. Also, I've talked about this, my text messaging boundaries. I'm obsessed with the way that my closest friends, if we don't text each other back, we literally don't care. If it's something we need an answer to, I also love it because One of them will just do like that question mark response if we don't answer. And I love that because they're like, no, I need an answer to this. It's like about a reservation or like ordering something, or, you know, it's like, I do need your answer to this. But if we don't answer each other on text messages, it's not like, why didn't you text me back type thing. It's like, there's no control, overbearing, insecurity part to it. And also we'll be on the phone and be like, oh, I gotta go. I'm getting a call, or I pulled up to my house or something like that. And it's like, oh, okay, bye. Like the conversation ends, but it's also like this ever flowing conversation of, we'll say bye and leave each other at any time, but there's no offense to it. If there's constantly offenses in a friendship, like, I'm out. I just genuinely don't have time for that frequency, energy. I need someone that is secure enough in themselves that they're not getting offended all the time. Number three, they have goals. I know I have goals, and that doesn't have to translate to other people's goals, because I'm kind of over the top with having a side business, entrepreneurship. It could be literally as easy as they get up early in the morning and they go work out because their goal is to work on themselves. They have financial goals, goals of any type. And it's not like, don't be weird. Don't ask them what their goals are. But you know this by having conversations with them. What's going on in their life? What are they working towards? What are they striving towards? And the goals could simply be their self-care. The goals could simply be that they are in a financially sound situation. Like it does not have to translate to your goals, but they are driven in some sort of way. Because when you get into these complacent friendships or relationships, that's where the toxicity starts to come in, and where I have found, especially with women, that they start to talk about other women because they have nothing else to talk about. Or they start to talk about gossipy things, and we all have fallen into that trap. We all have wanted to be accepted, taken part in the conversation. It has personally bit me in the past, and it happened to me once in a previous neighborhood we lived in with a couple of women, and I won't fall for that trap again. It is completely on me, but it was very much I wanted to fit in, I wanted to connect with these women, and it ended up badly. So what are you guys, as a group or as individuals, when you are talking, what are you talking about? And I post a lot about this on social media. If I see like a boss babe, or I don't really love that term, but if I see like something like that and I'm like, share it on my stories, a lot of the responses are, well, where do I find those women? You can find those women. It's going to be harder, but I guarantee you it will be worth the wait and worth your time. And don't feel bad if you get into a group and you are talking to these women, you're like, this is not serving me. This is not, these people don't have goals. I think it's okay to have acquaintances like that and people in your life like that, but not people that you're constantly giving your energy to. Four, do they keep you grounded? I don't want yes men in my life. I have plenty of those types of people, but are they going to respect you enough and listen to you, but they're also able to call you on your crap and say, you know what, I don't agree with that. Or like, but you said this. There's been a lot of that recently with my friends in the most loving and respectful way, but they've been like, you've said this before and now you're saying this. Like, explain to me, I don't understand. And at the end of the conversation, it's like, okay, I get it. But they also give you different perspectives that you do truly take into consideration because you love them, you respect them, and you respect their opinion. And if you have a relationship like, I don't even want to hear their advice, I'm just talking to talk, or because it feels therapeutic to get it out, like, you're not even looking for them to reciprocate the conversation, there's nothing wrong with that. But from a perspective of, this is someone that I give access to my heart and my soul, is what I'm personally looking for, and I'm not just looking for soundboards. So when you try to have those deep conversations, are they having them with you? Are they grounding you? Or does the subject switch to something that they want to talk about, or they can't really get that deep? And that's okay. Some people cannot get deep. I have plenty of relationships where I know I'm just not going deep with those people, but they're not my people, my true core people. And again, that's okay. But this is the non-negotiables of like your inner circle, your most intimate relationships. Last but not least, I've talked about this before. I did an episode with one of my best friends, Ashley. It was in the beginnings of the podcast, which I say the beginnings. It was like 6 months ago. I loved it. I will always cherish it. And I think it was so fun. I do think you should go back and listen to it. But we were basically bragging about our friend group the whole time. And it was kind of what I want this episode to accomplish, but we were trying to accomplish that. But I think we were so like giddy and in love with the fact of like our friend group that it could have come off as just bragging. But we talked about this specifically, and I have talked about this. I give this advice to people of just ask yourself when you leave your spouse, your romantic relationships with your friendships, like, do they fill your cup up? And it is that simple. Like, I don't really need to elaborate. You know those people that when you leave, you're like, oh, I'm exhausted, I need a nap. Or like, oh, I'm overstimulated, I just need to, you know, take a second. And sometimes, like, when we're partying and there's alcohol involved, which is like rarely, we all have families now, even when we do our annual like lake trip, it's real chill. But I'm thinking back to the times when we do that kind of stuff and then we go home and we're like, oh, we're exhausted. I think that's more of like a factor of like we stayed up late playing games, having fun, things like that. But like your soul and your energy, when you leave those people, do you feel like you have been filled up and you're not leaving exhausted, like they sucked the energy out of you? Because I will tell you, in the profession that I am in, I'm constantly emotionally giving myself to people. This is how I explain what my job is. And I saw this, I did not come up with this myself, but it was like, imagine having 20 Zoom meetings, all your deliverables are expected within that 10-minute meeting, and you also have to have a smile on your face, you have to meet all of their needs, and then you have to give them a summary at the end. That's what I do every single day as a nurse practitioner. I encounter at least 20 people a day. At my previous job, it could be 40, but I encounter that many people a day, and it is so emotionally draining. So it is so, so important to me that the relationships that I have are emotionally filling and energy filling. And I just tell people, if they're like, I don't know, about this relationship or this person, romantic or friendship, and I'm like, and I tell them, I say, just when you leave them or when you get off the phone with them, do you feel like, oh, I needed that? Or like, do you feel neutral? Like, or do you feel drained? And that's just something to take into consideration. The five things, let's review them. Is the spotlight the audience? Can that be interchanged easily within the relationship? The security of the relationship. Do they have goals? Do they keep you grounded? And do they fill your cup? And there are going to be things that come up, and something to ask yourself is, does this person contribute to my life in a way that they are worth the fight and worth the time? Like, if there is a disagreement, or if there is a, what are they talking about? They've never said this before. Or, you know, there's going to be disagreements, there's going to be arguments, it is not going to be perfect. But like I said, are they worth fighting for in your life? Because more often than not, do they meet all of those non-negotiables? And if the answer is no, and they're always exhausting, like, you don't have to cut them out of your life, but they can stay, but you need boundaries around those types of relationships. And what I will leave you with is, and I feel very passionately about this, don't lose yourself for any type of relationship. whether that be romantic, whether that be a friendship, whether that be a working relationship, just to gain company, and for that matter, company that doesn't even serve you or serve your purpose in life. I'm going to leave it at that, and I will see you guys on the next one. I love you.
Before you go, to grow our Mom Guilt community, rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Find and follow us on Instagram at Mom Guilt Podcast and on TikTok at @VannaPadilla_NP. You can also watch each episode in video form at my YouTube channel, Vanna Padilla. Last but not least, always remember, take what you need, and it's okay to want more. See you next time, Mama.